Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Now, if you've been with us for a couple of months, and I hope you have been, you would notice that we've kind of like started down a trajectory of conversation around the kingdom of God. We've started to talk about what the kingdom of God is. We've started to talk about how we are kingdom people. We are not a religion. Please, let's get that deep in our spirit. God never created a religion, never. From creation, that there was no institution of religion. Worship was part of the kingdom. You don't belong to a religion called Christianity. That is not a religion. That is the kingdom of God. You belong in a kingdom. And you are not subject in that kingdom. He is king of... Hello, come on, church. Kings. He is Lord of... It's a kingdom. And when you see yourself as a kingdom resident, you begin to behave. Who knows, you can't live beyond the opinion of yourself. Come on, let's do some straight talk here. You can't live beyond the opinion of yourself. It's not about the opinion of others. It's about what do you say about yourself. So the Lord has made you and I a kingdom of kings and priests. Kings, because there's an authority, there's a domain that God has appointed to you for your life to rule, reign, have dominion over on behalf of God. You are God's delegate on this earth. Come on, let's let the penny drop. That's why the Bible lets us know that mankind, men and women who are born again, you and I are the prime movers of the will of God on earth. Nothing comes back to kingdom order in your life or in your circumstances unless you rise up in who you are as a kingdom delegate and you bring it back with the authority that God has given you into right order. Let me be very clear. People, for example, will not get healed unless there is a kingdom person that, in the name of Jesus, prays for healing. People don't just get healed. You know, we've left so much for the devil. And it's not God's will. God wants you and I to actively cooperate with kingdom order. That is your assignment and my assignment on this planet. You were dispatched from heaven with the assignment of bringing kingdom order. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hello. We are kingdom people. So we started to look at that and we started to look at the role of kingdom prayer. You know, the disciples would say to Jesus things like, Lord, teach us to pray, because they saw when he prayed, things changed. The rule of Satan and darkness was abolished. They saw that when he prayed, kingdom order came into lives, into bodies, into situations. And what is on Messiah Jesus is actually on every son and daughter. Do you know that the anointing oil that is on the high priest, according to Psalm 133, sits on the head, but it flows down onto the beard and onto the body, the edges of the garment, signifying whatever is on the high priest, the same oil that is on the high priest is on the people. Our high priest, Jesus Christ, received an anointing from heaven to bring kingdom order. He said when he came to earth that the kingdom of God has come upon you. But you know, it doesn't rest, the anointing doesn't rest just on Jesus' head. The same anointing flows down to the body of Christ. Come on. Now, Satan and religion have done a good job of lying to the church that the church is insipid, that it is weak, that it can do nothing. That is a lie from hell. The anointing that is on your life, my brother, my sister, believer, is the same anointing that was on Messiah Jesus. The rabbi that walked the streets of Nazareth is the one who is alive in you by resurrection power. That means when you open up your mouth over a disease, it's hearing it. It doesn't matter whether it's coming out of your mouth or the mouth of Jesus. It is the same anointing of God that is being released. Hello. We saw that it is a kingdom of faith. That the kingdom of God, every step forward, progresses in your life and my life. Progresses in our life, progresses in our church, progresses in our city by faith. Meaning that it's not by sight and it's not by feeling, but as we take steps, as we step out, we find that the power of God comes upon your every little step of faith. Every little step of faith. If you take no step of faith, you will never experience the power of God. Do not expect great things from God if you don't attempt great things for God. If you begin to pray for the sick, you will begin to see the sick healed. But if your mouth is closed, how will the sick be healed? When you declare demons out of situations and out of people, until you arrest it, until you speak, until you allow your vocal cords to come into divine alignment with God's will, how will the Holy Spirit do His thing unless you open up your mouth wide? According to Psalm 81, verse 10, open up your mouth wide and I will fill it, said the Lord. You see what I'm saying? It's a kingdom of faith. You take out, you say, but that's not me. Okay, that wasn't you, but it can become you. We're either going to live as heavenly beings, as kingdom citizens, or we're going to live as insipid, religious weaklings that transform nothing. And I want to tell you something prophetically in the name of Jesus. We are in an age where anemic Christianity will not cut it. We're at an age where anemic Christianity, peripheral, marginal Christianity is useless. But the truth is, how could we change the world unless we ourselves are changed? How could we make a difference unless we ourselves are different? And that's where I want to take us today. I want to take us today that one of the markers of the kingdom of God is that it is a kingdom of encounter. It is a kingdom of encounter, meaning that you and I encounter God regularly. That the encounter of God doesn't become a one-off thing. The kingdom in your life and my life advances rapidly and violently and progressively and accelerates as you and I are in regular encounter with the King Himself. It is a kingdom of encounter. Do you know when God created? He created everything, everything that He created by a word. He would say, let there be light, and there was light. Just at a word, a word. Let the earth bring forth vegetation, and that would happen. Let the sea be filled with living creatures. That would happen. Just a word, word, word. Whenever the Lord spoke, things happened, except for one creation. That one creation was mankind, men and women. Mankind, the Lord did not only speak, but the Lord touched it with His hands. The Lord picked up soil. And the Lord made mankind not only with a word, but with a touch. Mankind is the only thing in creation that God touched. I need us to know that since the time that God has touched us to this day, we have become dependent on a touch from God. You and I cannot live except by a touch from God. We cannot be spiritually awakened except that we are touched by God regularly. Literally, we come into contact with God. That's what I mean by touched by God. That God is not a concept, God is not a doctrine, God is somebody who touches me practically. On a regular basis, I want to open up with us today to the book of Isaiah and show us one example of how this works, that it may be applied into our life. If you'd open up with me, book of Isaiah chapter 6. Starting in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. Two he covered his feet. Two he flew. One cried out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged." Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." And he said, "Go and tell these people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing and do not perceive." I just want to give us a little bit of context before we launch into today's conversation. The scripture that has gone, which hopefully will come back in just a minute, the scripture begins by in the year of King Uzziah, or the year that King Uzziah had died. So King Uzziah, just want to paint a picture for us so we know what we're talking about here. King Uzziah was one of the kings of Judah, and he was one of the better kings. Actually, he was the second best king recorded in scripture when it comes to Judah. He was only second to Solomon. He reigned for 52 years. And during his time, there was prosperity. During his time, there was economic stability. According to 2 Chronicles chapter 26, in the beginning of that chapter, it talks about how he followed the Lord with a loyal heart, and how the Lord had prospered him and how he prospered Judah through him. It was all going good, except kind of right down toward kind of like the end of his life. It says that his heart was lifted up. And because his heart was lifted up, pride was found in him in an unusual way, and it kind of filled him. And who knows that pride really can distort a human completely. I mean, it wasn't sexual immorality that turned angels into demons. It was pride, wasn't it? Pride could really turn a prince into a predator. And that's kind of like, unfortunately, what happened with King Uzziah. He turned into this thing and was struck with leprosy and died. Now, what do I tell you all of that? I tell you all of that to tell you this. When the scripture says that in the year King Uzziah died, that was a very special time for the people of Judah. For some people, that meant the good old days, because it was economic stability and they were flourishing, businesses were going good. For other people, it wasn't that. It was the disappointment of another failure. We had somebody start well but finish terribly, and they were so disappointed. We find Judah in a place of disarray. We find Judah in a place of instability. We find Judah in a place of uncertainty. We find Judah actually in a place of chaos. Now, I say all of that to let us know that for you and I to encounter God, not all things have to be perfect. Sometimes you're in the most chaotic season of your life. But sometimes that is exactly what God needs in order to have a turnaround encounter with his people. Do you know Isaiah, when he encountered the Lord then, Isaiah, this was in the year 740 BC. Isaiah was already a prophet for 18 years. 18 years. He was a prophet. He was the spokesperson to the king. But Isaiah's own ministry was absolutely unfruitful right up until that time. Unfruitful. He was a prophet. He was a man of God. He was a man of prayer. He was a man of this and a man of that. But for 18 years, nada. nothing to show for it. Nothing. But you know, the entire turnaround happened. The domino effect happened to Isaiah, to Judah, and to millions to come because of a single encounter. Because he encountered the Lord on high. I want to tell you that everything about your life and my life can change with one encounter with the living God. What Satan would take years and years to do, the Lord takes one moment to undo. One encounter. Do you know that from that point forward, then Isaiah's influence, he becomes spokesperson for four kings. He's known in theology as the fifth gospel, such as his impact. He is the most referenced prophet in the New Testament more than any other prophet. 67 times in the New Testament, Isaiah is referenced. 29 of those times by Jesus himself. Jesus quoted Isaiah 29 times in the gospel. Paul 25 times. 5 times in the book of Acts. 1 time in Hebrews and Revelations. And who knows, if you make it to Hebrews and Revelation, you're a heavyweight. Can you see the before and after? Before 18 years of nada, even though he had the office of a prophet. But the after the encounter, everything changed. I want to commit to us that if there's anything that the Spirit of a living God wants from every single one of us in 2023, God wants to encounter us in a whole new and fresh way. God is sick of religion and he's ready for divine encounters. He wants to touch his people, impart to his people. Tomorrow can be so different to yesterday because of an encounter. The rest of your life could be absolutely different to the past in your life because of an encounter. I'm not talking about an encounter that excites you. Please hear me, church. Because sometimes we kind of like attend meetings and we think it's all about the goosebumps. I'm not into goosebumps. I don't read too many goosebumps in scripture. If you have them, God bless you and bless your goosebumps. It's all good. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the true encounters with God that don't just excite us, they change us. See, Isaiah all of a sudden has this encounter with God and he's like, hang on a minute, everything changed. The way that he saw God, even though he was a prophet of God for 18 years before, it completely changed. He began to see God differently. He was like, whoa, this God, I never knew him like this. He is holy, holy, holy. The train of his robe fills the temple. Hang on a minute, hang on a minute. The whole earth is full of God's glory. I didn't see that before. I didn't see that God had all dominion. The way that he does, my eyes are opened to who God is. In an encounter, your eyes will be opened in a new way to who God is. You know, in an encounter, your eyes will be opened in a new way to who you are. The Lord didn't say a word to Isaiah, but Isaiah says, woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. Brother, who told you you were a man of unclean lips? Who said anything about you? But that's what happens. Our hearts come back into a right humble posture. Who knows? The thing that gets us into a lot of trouble is pride. It gets us into a lot of trouble. It divides our relationships. It skews our relationship with God. It makes us independent. At the core of so much stuff is pride. Unfortunately, the church has become a specialist at sins of a flesh and has forgotten the sins of a spirit. While it is sins of the spirit, that has totally got us off whack. But you know, one encounter with God, it doesn't make us a worm. It doesn't make us that. But it just actually brings right perspective. He says, woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. the Apostle Peter, when he encountered Jesus in the book of Luke chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." Who told you? He came back to a right estimate of himself. He came back to an estimate, "I am not God, he is God, and I'm a worshiper." He came back to, "I don't live for me, I live for him. I'm not created for me and my self-centered, egotistical life. I'm created to worship God, to love God, to be a son or a daughter of God." It brought him back to right perspective. Job was the most righteous man on the earth, according to Job chapter 42. He said to the Lord, the whole turnaround in Job. In chapter 42 of Job, he said, "I've heard of you with the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen you, so I repent. I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." You know what happened with Job? He encountered God. His heart came back to a right place. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the true encounters of God bring a whole new perspective, bring a whole new paradigm of living. They don't just excite us, they literally change us. An encounter with God will change you. You know, Jacob in the Old Testament, he was known to be a bit of a con artist. He was a bit of a slippery boy. And his name meant the planter, cheat. Ex, kind of like a car salesperson that's on the shonky side. You just don't trust the bloke. You know, he'd cheat his brother he'd lie to his dad and cheat his way into birthrights and do all kinds of strange things. And even though there was a call of God on his life. And they called him Jacob. Jacob literally means con man, cheat. Imagine every morning your mum and dad going, "Wake up, cheat." Do you know what I mean? It doesn't help your self-esteem. And who knows, if you believe the lie, you become the lie. So he started to become something that was really never God's plan for him. Jacob has this life where everything is a battle. Everything is a battle. Nothing comes easy. He's a fighter. He's a wrestler. He's fighting everything and he's wrestling everything. Nothing comes easy. He looks around him and it seems like things are coming to different people. But for him, he has to toil for everything. Everything. He's got to toil for it. But he gets to a point where he's now kind of like fed up with religion. Because he had this mini encounter with God in the book of Genesis, chapter 28, where he sees the ladder and angels ascending and descending. And he says to God, "Okay, if you're going to protect me, I'm going to tithe." Who knows, sometimes we barter with God, right? If you do this, I'll do that, right? If you do this for me, then I'll worship you. He was in that kind of relationship. You scratch my back, God, I'll scratch your back. What a mentality. But then we fast forward to Genesis chapter 32, a place called Peniel. Jacob is tired from religion. Jacob is tired because even his worship of God hasn't really worked, if he was going to be honest with himself. He has tried to worship God and he has tried to tithe and he has tried to do the things that he was taught from his great heritage, but it really hasn't worked. He's still living with the burden and the toil and the weariness of the day-to-day. He's fighting it and he's ready to give up. He's been now pursued by his brother and 400 men, and he knows they're not coming so that they can have a kebab and a good old lunch together. They're coming to kill him. He's tired. Have you been there? Anybody been there, or is it just me? Hello. Uh-huh. But in the book of Genesis chapter 32, in a place called Peniel, he comes face to face with God and he says to the Lord, "I'm sick of it all. I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm sick of religion. I need an encounter with God. I need an impartation of divinity. I need a touch from heaven." And right there, the Lord touches him and marks him for the rest of his life. The Bible says that it marked him so much that the place where God touched, right at his hip, he would walk with a limp for the rest of the time, not because God wanted to dislocate him, but God wanted to mark him for the rest of his life. Do you know what happened to Jacob from that point forward? He became no longer Jacob, but Israel, prince with God. I want to tell you one proper encounter with the living God changes everything. Changes everything. The kingdom is built on kingdom people who encounter God. Not play religion. You know what the problem is? We have confused the means with the end. You know what I mean by that? We have made the means the end. As if coming to church is the intended end. Hello. As if reading the Bible is the intended end. As if prayer is the intended end. None of those are intended end. They are the means to an end. Let's never confuse the means with the end. You read the Bible so you can encounter God. You pray so that the Holy Spirit can fill you and you can encounter God. You come to church not because of a Sunday ritual, but we come hungry so that we can encounter God. God never said that I'm going to bless those who are holy. God said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. God encounters the hungry, not the holy. Hello. Can you see? Isaiah was not holy. He was a man full of iniquity, but God was willing to encounter him. Please hear me. God wants to encounter you way more than you imagine. God's desire is for you to encounter him in a whole new way. God will do anything to make that happen. He just needs our attention a bit. Now, where do I get that from? Did you notice that seraphim, like we're talking about senior ranked angels, it says that the seraphim, they had six wings, with two they covered their eyes. But you know, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord. God, are you kidding me? You made a man, you gave access to a man to what, you don't even give access to angels? No. Hang on, it gets even more interesting. If you read it accurately, it says that the angel flew over the altar, picked up a coal. Hang on. This is fascinating. Picked up a coal with tongs. Do you know why? Because it was too hot. Because it symbolized the very divinity of the living God. He picked up a coal with tongs, too hot for an angel. But you know what he did with it? He put the coal straight onto the lips of Isaiah. Too hot for an angel, but God was willing to give it to a sinful man. Hello. What are we talking about? We are talking about a God whose love is toward us, a God who is not looking to reproach us, a God who's not counting our sins against us, a God who is full of mercy, that he will give all of himself to sons and daughters. Don't look with shame at yourself. You have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And because you have been, you are qualified for a divine encounter. Nobody in this room is disqualified from a divine encounter. A divine encounter, I'm telling you now, will bring you into a state of absolute personal and corporate revival. Would you open up with me to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 7? Second Chronicles, chapter 7. It actually says to me that my time's up. Do you mind if I'll just a few more minutes today? If you've got stuff to do, I totally respect that. And feel free to go, but I'm not done. I've got to talk to you about some stuff. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people, who's that? Give me a wave if you're his people. Oh my gosh, there's only 70%. Okay. All right, Jesus. If my people who are called by my name. Now, have a look at how this works. Will humble themselves. The simplest thing on the planet, yet the hardest thing for mankind will humble themselves. We are not God. I am not God. I don't exist for myself. I don't exist for my self-gratification, my self-satisfaction. Will humble themselves. Do you know that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble? Do you know that the difference between God's resistance or God's assistance comes down to whether there's humility or pride? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, you'll always find that wherever humility is found, there is prayer, because the humble heart knows how much it depends on God. The humble heart knows how much it needs God, that without me you can do nothing is a true statement. I can do nothing without Jesus. Not only nothing holy, just nothing, full stop. I need Jesus. Seriously, I go to the gym and one of the most beautiful verses, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, happens to be 10 reps. That's I need Jesus. You need Jesus for everything. Don't ever think you can do anything without Jesus supplying that to you. He is our life. When Jesus, who is our life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. Humble themselves and pray, and look at this, and what? And seek my face. That's Peniel right there. That's an encounter right there. Peniel is literally what Jacob called that place where he encountered God. He said, because I saw the face of God, he called it Peniel, which means the face of God. I am thoroughly convinced that there will be no awakening on a personal level or a corporate level unless the church has a Peniel. There's got to be a God encounter. There's got to be a God encounter in your life and my life. The kingdom of God in you and through you is totally dependent on a God encounter. That's why the rest of the verse goes on to say, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. The revival of the land, the healing of the land is totally dependent on the people of God having an encounter with God. So, in 2023, we've got a decision to make. Is it going to be Christianity Groundhog Day? Is it going to be same-o, same-o? Or is it going to be the year of encounter, Peniel, where God changes everything? He did it for Isaiah. He did it for Peter. He did it for every single person who got into a posture of, I am sick of religion. I am ready for kingdom encounter. Now, you may be sitting there and you're thinking, and you should be thinking that, well, that's cool. I could be hungry for an encounter, but can I really make an encounter with God happen? Well, let me be as accurate as I can be in trying to answer that. No, you can't make an encounter happen. But yes, you can posture your life for an encounter. You can position yourself. See, here's what the Lord said. Book of James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Do you see what the Lord said? The Lord said that if you take a step, you watch me come to you. Lord said, you just take a step, watch me come to you. I will not disappoint you. I am faithful to my promise. You will draw near and I will draw near, and then you'll see, we'll collide. That's why the Lord said in the book of Jeremiah chapter 19 and verse 23, that you will seek me, you will search for me and seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. The Lord has promised if we go after him, we will be found by him. Can I make an encounter happen? Yes, you can. You know why? Because God has promised that if you take a step toward him, he'll meet you there. You open up your Bible in the morning, watch what the Holy Spirit does. You open up your mouth in prayer every day, watch what the Holy Spirit does. You give God your attention like Moses did. It says he turned aside to see the great sight. Watch God and watch what he does. God will set your bush on fire. Just as you turn aside to have a look at who he is. Just as you give him room in your life. That's why the Lord doesn't want nominal Christianity. God wants you to catch fire. That's what Isaiah called. Isaiah, 18 years prophet, not much going on, not much cooking in the kitchen. But he caught fire, then he spread fire. And maybe I should try to wrap it up to a probable close very soon. I want to tell you that one of the markers of encounter, one of the markers that literally something has happened, can't be manufactured. See, if you catch fire, you're going to spread fire. You can't help that, because that's the nature of fire. You don't have to manufacture that. You become that because it changes you. You know what I'm saying? It's not like you're putting it on. You just can't be any different because God has changed you. And when you are changed, you become a change agent. An encounter is never in itself even the end. It's funny because you look upward to God, you encounter God, it changes you inward, but it always ends up outward. It always ends up, God changes you and then you begin to change the world. It just begins to happen like that. So how does God change the world? By encountering sons and daughters. Not by changing the world, but by literally encountering sons and daughters. You'll find that everything changes. We call it missional breathing. Take that down, missional breathing, missional breathing. You know what missional breathing is? You inhale God's presence, you exhale mission. See, the vision of God is always going to burn into the mission of God in your life. Always. 100% of the time. You can't catch vision of God. You cannot catch an encounter with God without all of a sudden finding that there's something oozing out of you. One of our sisters here in this church right now, as a matter of fact, sitting in this service right now, who I won't embarrass, but owns one of the businesses here. Beautiful, delicious Korean chicken, by the way. So if you're in the court, like later on, anyway, you might want to go visit. But yesterday I just happened to kind of like bump into her, and then she was sharing with me how she now goes kind of like for prayer walks in this center, praying for people in this center, how she's talking to her employees, how sometimes even when business is not so busy, she'll go for a prayer walk and come back and then it is busy. And you know, as she's talking, I'm feeling somebody who's caught fire, who's starting to spread fire, going about her daily business, but with a new fire in her bones. I love that. That's what true Christianity is. True Christianity is caught fire, spread fire. Inhale presence, exhale mission. You become a missionary. Charles Spurgeon says, Christians are either missionaries or they're imposters. Hello. Because a true Christian has either encountered God, is set on fire by the presence of the Holy Spirit, or not, dull. God in 2023, more than anything, is calling us, is awakening us to posture our lives for encounter. I want to finish off by saying this. Maybe worship team join me so I do close today. Listen to this. This is something from FedEx. Heard of FedEx? Okay, listen to this. Every day, FedEx sends over 4 million packages worldwide. Did you know that? That's a lot of packages. Every day, in more than 220 countries, FedEx has 170,000 plus employees, 675 aircrafts, 50,000 ground vehicles, 1,800 office locations, and they deliver worldwide in one-day turnaround. Now, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? But I'm not here to do a commercial for FedEx. I really want us to know that the church is also in a delivery package service. You and I are in a delivery package service. God every day has packages for this world to be delivered not by FedEx, but by Christian sons and daughters. God will give you something if you catch God's heart, catch fire, posture yourself for an encounter. Freely you have received, freely you will give. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. In the book of Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, he said to them, now I'm going to send you, I'm going to need you to cleanse lepers, to heal the sick. I'm going to need you to raise the dead. I'm going to need you to preach the gospel. I need you to be my FedEx team. And then he says to the church, freely you have received, freely you shall give. The package is not yours. You don't manufacture the package. You get it. You receive it first and then you pass it on. You know why we don't have anything to give? Because we're receiving nothing. We need to receive in order to give. We are not the source, we are the channel. So God is asking the church once again to be his FedEx team, his delivery package service to a broken world that he loves. God so loved the world is not a doctrine, that is the heartbeat of God till this year and this day. God loves people in your workplace, in your neighborhood, and he's looking to you and I to bring hope from heaven, to bring healing to the lost, to bring deliverance to those who are bound by demons. The church needs to step back into encounter with God so that it can freely receive and therefore freely give. This may be a time that's a little bit chaotic in your life. It could be exactly like we started in the year that King Uzziah died. It could be the year of uncertainty. It could be not your happiest place. But I want to tell you, sometimes the darkest places are literally the places where God wants to have the most significant encounters. I want to ask you for one thing. Seriously, just one thing this year. Just one. Because I know out of that, everything will come. I want to ask you to posture yourself, pursue an encounter with God. I want to ask you just every day, could you please do whatever it takes to encounter God? You know, I open up the Word of God and say to him, God, it's not that I just want to fill my mind with information, but I want to encounter you. Come to church, but come to church with a heart that leans in. God, I want to encounter you. And the same God, the God of Isaiah, the God of Jacob, the God of Peter and the God of Paul, the God of every man and woman who has actually become a kingdom person, is your God and my God. God shows personal favoritism to no man. What he did for one, he will do for all, because he loves all the same. Maybe I want to tell you one more thing in concluding. Isaiah, in all truth, if he looked at himself, he was right about his estimate. Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. Peter was right about his estimate. Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man. They were right about their estimate. They weren't being falsely humble. They were right. They weren't worthy. But you and I are not either. But I want you to know that the first thing that the Lord did is that he touched his lips and he said to him, your sin is purged. Your iniquity is cleansed. God gives mercy and then he gives mission. I need us to know there is nothing that disqualifies you this very day from an encounter with God. Nothing. No sin, no past, nothing you've ever done will disqualify you, because God will give you mercy first, then he'll give you purpose and mission.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.